last week we talked about rest, and you heard me earlier just say we're in the context of a whole healthy life, talking about nutrition and taking care of ourselves physically and spiritually, and how they are all related. And we had a few weeks talking about healthy eating and feasting, and now we've got 2 weeks talking about rest, and next week we're talking about exercise and even spiritual exercise. But oftentimes with health, we only talk about diet and exercise. We don't talk about rest. And we go, oh, yeah, we should talk about rest. But it is critical. It's important to good health and spiritual health. It's essential. And so a little bit of a recap. Where are my glasses? Last week, we defined rest. This was good. Pepperdine University. There's a lot of good stuff on their website, spiritually speaking. But I got this sort of a definition. It said, in a world that glorifies busyness and normalizes never-ending productivity, God invites us to get off the treadmill of activity and simply rest. And this is what I loved about this quote. Rest is an act of resistance to the empires and kingdoms of this world and within our own lives. It's a resistance to the stream, the river that is flowing of busyness. And busyness is praised in this world. And we can fall into that. Rest is an act of resistance against that, against the empires and kingdoms. Resting allows us to quiet ourselves before God and revives our minds, bodies, and spirits, and can be practiced in community, like what we're doing today, or alone. And I gave an acronym for rest. You can see it up here. Receiving encouragement and sowing trust. From a spiritual perspective, that really is, I think, that defines rest well. Receiving encouragement and sowing trust. That was a takeaway from last week, and we'll continue to talk about that this week. Some of our takeaways, again, just kind of catching us up and bringing it back to mind. 5 rest realities we talked about last week, that rest is difficult, rest is necessary, rest is required, rest is one of the 10 commandments, rest is practical, and then rest is Jesus. We find our ultimate rest in Jesus. And I love this quote. Several people commented this past week about this quote in terms of the enemies and obstacles to rest. Carrie Newhoff said, productivity shame involves the feeling that you aren't allowed to do things that are unproductive. As a result, you feel guilty when you spend time on hobbies, watch a movie, or simply sit back and relax. And I know a lot of that resonated with a lot of us last week. You feel guilty when you do nothing. But that's a part of rest. We need to carve time out just to take a deep breath and just sit on the front porch and drink an ice-cold Cherry Coke, right? The gospel really is a message of rest. The gospel is not about work in what we do for God. Gospel means good news. It's not about work in what we do for God. It's about resting in the work that Jesus has done for us. Religion says work, 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 work. Religion says work. And the gospel, the good news, says rest. What a refreshing message that we have, a powerful message in the gospel. I don't think I shared this verse last week, but Romans 4, verse 5, to that point, religion says work, Jesus says rest. Romans 4, verse 5 says, however, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. That is, in a nutshell, the gospel. If you walk away with nothing else today, that verse is the gospel. To the one who does not work, but who trusts God, what does he do? He justifies the ungodly. That's the essence of the gospel. God justifies, he makes perfectly just and righteous ungodly people. That's what he does. Not because of our work, but because of our trust in him. Ultimately, he is the one who does this, and we can find rest in that. And then lastly, last week we said weekly rest. These were our takeaways. We rest one day in 7, the Sabbath or the Lord's Day. Why? Because 1, God told us to rest. 2, we need to rest. And 3, we saw in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12, God said through the prophet Ezekiel, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us so they would know that I, the Lord, make them holy. That's why God gave the Sabbath, one of the reasons. He wants us to rest, but he said, I want them to know that I am the one who makes them holy. I want them to remember that on a regular basis, every 7 days. And so rest reminds us that God makes us holy. It's a timeout. And I did mention last week, you know, when God created the world and everything in it in 6 days, we could be living six-day weeks right now. But God said, no, 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 I'm adding a day as a timeout, as a rest. So we have a seven-day week because God said, no, we need a day to rest. I'm resting. God rested. And so he commands us to rest. So this week we're talking about daily rest. What does that look like on a daily basis for us? I love this quote from Nikki Gumbel. It is just a constant reminder to me. He says, spending time in the presence of God is the most important activity of your life. You need God's presence in your life more than you need anything else. Wow, that's a big statement. But it is. It's priority. That's our life connection. That's our source. God is our source, and we've got to spend time in the presence of God. One of our key verses, I've got two for today, but one, and I'll mention several others, but the one that I'll kick off the message today is Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5. And it says this. It's great, a great verse on rest. One thing I ask from the Lord, this is David, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. This is a picture of rest. That's why I have those words highlighted. Dwell, gaze, and seek. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. So David talks about in these two verses what we do and then what God does as a response. So what do? I dwell in the house of the Lord. God is my Father. In God's house, we see him as Father. We talked about good, good Father. We sang about that. God is our loving Father. Christianity is the only religion that sees God as Father. He's our Father. We dwell in his house. And David says, I seek the Lord that I may dwell in his house all the days of my life. I gaze on the beauty of the Lord. I gaze at his beauty. That is the song Mayberry. They kind of reference that, just taking a day on Sunday and just stopping and thinking and gazing and reflecting on God's beauty. You could really say, as husband, first of all, God is Father. God is husband. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. The church is the bride. So gazing on his beauty. And then lastly, we seek him in his temple, temple of spiritual worship. So we see him as God Almighty. So you have Father, you have Husband, you have God Almighty, Creator, the elements, the different perspectives that we see God in. And in one regard, as Father, we can come close, we can come near, we can sit in his lap. You can go to a ball game with your Father. You can, you know, go play catch with your Father. On the other hand, he's God Almighty. He is holy. And so we're in awe of his holiness and of his perfection and of his righteousness, of who he is. He is far above us. He is God. And we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. But there's this balance of nearness of relationship as a father, and then awe and respect as God Almighty, as Yahweh. So in exchange, as we meet God, in resting and reflecting, as in dwelling and gazing and seeking, God says, in the day of trouble, David says, in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. God will protect us. We find protection. He keeps us safe. He will hide me in the shelter of his tent. He's going to provide for us. We're not going to be homeless because of this relationship that we have with God. He is going to cover us with provision in every way. And then he's going to lift us above the fray. He will set me high upon a rock. He lifts us up into safety. You know, he gets us above the storm clouds, and he provides for us. And that rock, the Bible in the Old and the New Testament is saying, this is Jesus. Jesus is the rock. So he sets us high upon a rock. So these things all address the issues of our hearts that are enemies of rest. We talked about last week, mostly fear, anxiety, worry. Our minds are going at night. But we go back and we say, I just want to dwell in God's house and remember that he's my loving Father. I want to gaze on his beauty and remember the character and remember who he is and take time to do that intentionally. You know, we've done this before here and need to get those out on our website, but just one word descriptives of who God is. And when I reflect on those things and when we do that, it actually brings a sense of calm because of the truth of who God is. And you go, yeah, I've got a loving Father who has all of these characteristics. He's Savior, Shepherd, he's shelter, he's security. I was thinking of this past week, you know, words of praising God and his character, and there are two letters. You can go A to Z and try to do that, you know. What's a word that, you know, may draw you to worship or adoration of God, starting with A and go all the way to Z? And there are two letters that there's a bunch for, S and R, Redeemer, Restorer, Reconciler. And I mentioned some for S. So when we remember that God is these things, he's our shelter, he's our security, he's our shepherd, he's our safety, it brings a sense of calm to us when we are tempted to worry. Last week, I shared this verse in closing. It was the last thing that we shared in wrapping up the message last week, and it's Isaiah 30, verse 15. And it says this, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." That's like the opposite of what we think, right? Rest, quietness, trust, that's your salvation, that's your strength. And here's a picture. I had these great pictures last week, and they may have shown, I can't see what's going on back here, but that's a great picture of rest. I thought, that's what our soul needs to do, right? So here's the funny thing about that verse, Isaiah 30, 15. I didn't read the whole verse last week. It has a little bit more. There's an ending, and it's funny. In repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. The rest of the verse is this, but you would have none of it. He says, you didn't want anything to do with it. You wouldn't have any, you would have none of it. And this next picture sort of pictures that. This was, you know, you're lying in a hammock, but you're standing straight up because you just can't rest. You can't relax. This is from a book that I read years ago. Some of you guys may have read it. It's called Making Room for Life. And it's a great book, Randy Frazee. It's a good book really on how to rest in relationship. But you would have none of it. And that's our problem. You know, God says it's in quietness. It's in trust. It's in repentance and rest. But that's not really where we go. We all battle with that. We all struggle. So I'll talk briefly. The enemy of hurry and the friend of stillness. The enemy of hurry is always lurking. It's one of the greatest threats to relationships with God and with people. Hurry. You guys feel that. I feel it. Oh, my goodness. The standing up in the hammock, that's where that comes from. It's just hurry, 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 hurry. I don't have time for this. Time just flies, doesn't it? It's amazing how many less things I think I can get done each day than I had planned on because time just flies. But hurry leads to worry. Hurry leads to worry. And so God is calling us back to say rest. Rest. We can't allow ourselves to be swept away by hurry. It's not easy to stop. Be still, be quiet, read, pray, reflect. That's not easy to stop, especially as the day gets going. But I'm convinced, I wrote this down in my journal, that halting hurry to spend time with God is the secret to life satisfaction. Halting hurry. Now, for me, and some of you may experience the same thing, just spending time carving out and blocking out time with God, it's different for me at 6:30 or whatever time, first thing in the morning, versus 10 o'clock. And there occasionally I've got other stuff going or I forget to do it and I have to come back to it. It just happened to me this past week. It was about 11 o'clock before I finally got time. By that time, I am just covered in hurry. Like, I got to get things done. But now I'm just kind of, this is a box I'm checking. But it's better to check that box than not to. But for me, it's better to do it in the morning. Now, I know a lot of you guys, and Grace would be one, you got early stuff. You know, she's up at 5:30, 5:45. A lot of you guys are up real early. And so it may be hard to do that first thing in the morning. But find a time that works where you can block out and try to resist hurry and allow God to give you rest. Joyce Meyer is a Bible teacher, and I know that we're all over the board here in terms of what some may say. I love Joyce Meyer. Some may say, I don't know about Joyce Meyer, but I love what she said here. She says this, the devil fights us more in the area of our spending time with God than he does in any other area of our Christian lives. In fact, Satan would much prefer that we get involved in all kinds of religious activity rather than spend time with the Lord. That's so true. And so many people in church, so many pastors, people in ministry are just going at spiritual activity. Like, that's, you see the surface of just a ton of spiritual activity, but there's emptiness and there's not grounding and they're not standing on the rock. That can happen to all of us. But it is, just be aware, if you're struggling with getting time with the Lord on a regular basis, it's because it's the number one place of attack, and we've got to be aware of that. We're going to lose the battle if we're not aware that we're in a fight, right? If you're not thinking that you're in a fight in this area, then we're going to lose it every time. So talked a little bit about the enemy of hurry. Hurry leads to worry. The answer to that is rest, pushing back, not just weekly rest, but daily rest. And then the friend of stillness. You know what that's like in the times that you've had it, that you've experienced it, how hard it is, but the friend of stillness combats hurry and strengthens relationships. Just carving out time, whether it's with God or with a friend or a spouse or a child, just carving out some time. There's nothing that calms our anxious hearts like spending quiet time with God, reading His Word and prayer, letting God talk to you and you talking to God. That's a critical point of walking with Jesus. And there are a couple psalms that you may be aware of. Psalm 37:7 says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Be still. I can't remember the line in Good, Good Father, but when it came up in the song, he takes our anxious thoughts and brings stillness. I can't remember what it was. But be still in the presence of the Lord. And Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes that's the thing that we have to reflect on, just knowing that He's God. God, are you in control of this? Are you aware of this? Do you know that I'm experiencing this in my life? I have to remind myself, He is God. And even though the things that in my life I'm experiencing right now, I don't understand, He's God. And not only is He God and He's sovereign, but He loves me. I mentioned earlier the movie Jesus Revolution, and saw an interview with Kelsey Grammer, and I posted this on my Facebook page yesterday, but Kelsey Grammer, who plays Chuck Smith, one of the pastors involved in that movement in the late 60s and early 70s, Kelsey said, you know, my life has really been, I've been all over the place in my faith journey, and part of the reason is because he's had incredibly traumatic events happen in his life. And when that happens to us, oftentimes we can't help but wonder, God, where were you in this? I think when he was 13 years old, his father was murdered. Not just his dad died, but his father was murdered. And then a few years later, as a teenager, his sister was kidnapped and raped and murdered. And then a few years after that, his stepbrothers were in a scuba diving accident and both killed. And he's had just incredible trauma early on in those formative years, you know. And I think he's in his fourth marriage and just hard stuff. And some of you can relate to experiencing hard things of life and wondering, God, where are you? Do you love me? and had some great conversation this past week with some guys here who came out, and guys who have really struggled with faith, and said, you know, one guy said, my mom died when I was 17 years old. I was so close with my mom. I didn't have any relationship with my dad. And that threw me into question. Does God care about me? Does God love me? So we have to go back to the truth and be reminded to know that he's God, to spend time still and quiet with him. So daily rest was really the source of Jesus's power on earth. Walking as a man, God, fully man, it was his priority. And there were several scriptures in the Gospels, talks about very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 4, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. Luke 5, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He went off by himself to spend time with his Father, to be reminded, recharged, made ready for that day. And so I'm going to get a little practical here as we kind of turn the corner in the message. A quiet time. You've heard that, maybe that reference to time with the Lord. Just a quiet time. That's really what it needs to be. A time to be able to think. A time to be able to read, to be able to pray. In our world and culture, those who are really not walking with God, a lot of times our quiet time is spent looking for answers introspectively. We look inward. And I read a few weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, has a regular time each year where he has a darkness retreat. Is it? I think it's 4 days. Is it 4 days? He goes into complete darkness. I don't think he can even see his hand in front of his face. It's that dark. Looking for answers and looking for direction. And that's not what we're talking about. There was a great quote by Frank Peretti several years ago. He said, if you're searching for truth, don't look within. You're the one that's confused. So don't go in a darkness retreat without the Lord. Now, you can go in a darkness retreat with Jesus, but we're not seeking to go into darkness. We're seeking to go into light. We're seeking to be to place ourselves in the light, looking to God. And some elements of that: prayer, Bible reading, scripture meditation, just taking one verse and just reflecting on that, maybe memorizing it, maybe not, but it's amazing how powerful that can be. Just sitting quietly, indoors or outdoors, or going for a walk. Journaling, for some people, that's really helpful. I've mentioned before, I try to keep a gratitude journal, and that helps me just reflect on, you know, where, especially the little things, what are the little blessings each day that God has revealed himself to me? And my heart wells up with gratitude when I'm thinking about those things and writing them down. And I pull it out. I go from Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving. And on Thanksgiving Day, I pull out my gratitude journal and just read through the whole thing. And I am overwhelmed with gratitude. And I can't tell you, probably, you know, 85% of the things that I write down, I would have totally forgotten had I not written it down. And there are things that when they happen, I go, I'll never forget this. But then I read it and I go, I would have forgotten that. So journaling can be helpful. Music can be helpful. So whatever that looks like, but, you know, looking to God, and it all starts with need. It really does. Having a real sense of our need. This past week, I thought of the word, you know, we're talking about rest. So I thought of the word restroom. What is a restroom? Why do they call it a restroom? Because when you go in, you're uncomfortable. But when you come out, you feel relief, right? You're like, I'm glad I visited the restroom, right? And then the other bathroom, you know, you go in dirty and you come out clean. And so in some senses, that's what we do. A quiet time is going in and finding rest, going in with need, going in with discomfort, going in with anxiety and fear and worry, and taking that and laying it before the throne of grace, and just walking out and going, God, I still got this, but I'm still thinking about it, but now it's yours, and I'm trusting you with it. Tully and Chavigian said that spiritual disciplines are God's rendezvous points where he reminds us that things between us and him are forever fixed. I love that. That time with the Lord on a regular basis is God's rendezvous point with you and with me, where he just reminds you it's okay. It's fixed. In the midst of the craziness of life, in the midst of the sadness, of the despair, of the hard thing, it's going to be fine. It's hard now, but it's fixed. So a couple practical suggestions for quiet time. Find a private location. These all start with P. Make it a priority as early as possible, in my opinion. I could be wrong. Some of you guys may say, hey, the evening is best for me because the day's behind and I can rest and find refreshment there. But make it a priority, whatever it is. If you don't schedule it, it probably won't happen. Your posture for prayer. It's helped me. I had somebody a few years ago, I listened to a sermon message and said, get on your knees and pray. Posture helps. Now, if you can't get on your knees, then, you know, maybe fold your hands and bow your head, whatever it may be, but be thinking about posture with prayer. You don't have to do that all the time. Don't be legalistic about it, because you may pray and walk. You may pray and drive. That's fine. But it does help me. I started doing that. It's helpful. It helps keep me focused, but it also reminds me that I am submitting to God. I'm on my knees. I'm on my face, bowing down before the King of Kings. Have some sort of a plan for Bible reading. If you don't have a plan, it's going to be hard. You may have a few days where you can flip and find something, but if you don't have something that's, you know, you don't have to think about it. You open up and it's like, okay, read this, then it's going to be hard to be consistent. And then praise and gratitude. And I mentioned earlier sort of the gratitude journal. Take some time to just praise God for who he is, to thank God for what he's done. And we've talked about here as we've started this church within the last 2 years that, you know, people ask, are you going to have small groups? And we've got some things going on, but I've said, yes, we are going to have small groups, but they're going to be really small. It's going to be you and Jesus. That's the most important small group there is. That's where we start. I mean, my goal is that all of us would say, yeah, I'm developing that habit. It may not be every day. You know, again, don't be legalistic about it. But, oh, that's me. I set my alarm. All right, let's see. Okay, good. My timing is good. But that's the most important thing. You can be in a small group. You can come to church every week. You can be involved in active in Christian ministry, serving the homeless, all the things we talked about. But if you're not connecting with Jesus on a regular basis, you're missing the most important thing. That's where we get fueled up. That's where we get encouraged. That's where God reminds us that things are forever fixed. So prioritize that. Resources. I made a list. There's 5 apps for me. You guys may have more, and I'd love if you email me or text me or put it on Facebook. But some of the most helpful resources for me, Bible in 1 Year, we talk about that every week. That's what the app looks like. You can see 1-to-1. Number 2 is Our Daily Bread. It's about a 3-minute devotional, and it's got audio. So does Bible in 1 Year. YouVersion, you see the Holy Bible there. That's YouVersion. And what Ray read this morning, that's a daily thing. They've got a verse of the day, and then they've got a little audio 2-minute explanation of that verse. And if you scroll all the way down for the kids, I just discovered this past week. There's something specifically for the kids, for youth, like teenagers, and it's really good. So if you're looking for something, that YouVersion is good on their homepage. Refresh, Daily Audio Bible, you see number 4, and Dwell Audio Bible. I've heard lots of good things from the. I think, Dale, you use Refresh, right? And then any of you guys use any of those? Do you use Refresh? Do you use Audio Bible? Dwell? You use Dwell? How many of you guys Bible in 1 Year? Yeah, good handful. Our Daily Bread, yeah. YouVersion, wow, yeah, good. Am I missing any big ones that need to be mentioned? Bible Gateway, yeah, that's. I think YouVersion and Bible Gateway, I think they're kind of the same. Abide, okay. Okay, good, Abide, picked one up. We'll add that. I'll put that up on, what'd you say? Lectio 365? Is that an app? Okay. Oh, wow. L-E-C-T-I-O. Lectio 365. Thank you, Steve. And then we've got, you know, resources for books. What are some helpful books? So Life and Teachings of Jesus, that's a little book we have at the back table. We've got free resources. It's free. They basically took all four Gospels and put it into one Gospel story. It's called A Harmony of the Gospels, and I developed a 16-week reading plan for that. And so that's a great starting point. Life and Teachings of Jesus. The Jesus Lifestyle by Nikki Gumbel, that's at the back table. All these are free. That's fantastic. Look at the table of contents for that, and you'll go, wow, that's like a picture of how to live the Christian life and walk with Jesus. New Morning Mercies by Paul Tripp is a daily. That's a 365 daily device, like a one-page devotional reading. That's really good. Saving Grace, same thing by Jack Miller. And then the Jesus Storybook Bible by Sally Lloyd-Jones. And we've got some of those at the back table if you want one. And that's a kid's storybook Bible, but I recommend it for adults. I love it. I've read the whole thing multiple times, and I would highly recommend Jesus Storybook Bible. So those are some resources that if you're in need of resources that may be helpful. And there's plenty more, but this is kind of a starting point. My last point, and then we'll wrap it up here, is rest does not always mean quiet and still. Doesn't always mean quiet and still. In Mark chapter 6, this is a common verse that's used for resting. Jesus is going with the disciples. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they're hungry. They're being, you know, overwhelmed by the crowds. He said, come with me and let's get some rest. So the rest of the story is they get in the boat, they go to the other side, and the crowd beat them to the other side. So now there's thousands of people who are there ready, waiting for them when they get there. They're hungry, they're tired when they get there, and this huge crowd of people is there. That's when Jesus and the disciples feed the 5,000 plus people. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's an event in itself. After that, Jesus says, I'm going to go to the mountainside and pray. You guys get in the boat and go back to the other side. So they get back in the boat to go to the other side, and that's when the storm hits them, and Jesus meets them walking on the water. So now they're dealing with all that. They feel like they nearly died in the storm. They get to the other side, and the same thing happens. People are bringing their sick. They're bringing the people that need healed, the demon-possessed, all that. As far as I can tell, in Mark chapter 6, they didn't get any rest. They didn't get any rest. However, my point that the kind of an aha moment is that it's possible to be physically exhausted and spiritually rested. I bet those guys were wiped out. But after those activities of feeding 5,000 people and seeing Jesus heal all these people and experiencing him walking on the water, they had to just be spiritually so, like a 10 on the rest meter when you think about rest as being refreshed in relationship with Jesus. And it's the same with us. So whether it's stillness, whether it's active obedience in serving the Lord, you can find rest in both places. So it's possible to be physically exhausted and spiritually rested. Second concluding thought of three, rest happens when we spend time with Jesus in quiet stillness or active obedience. It happens when we spend time with Jesus. And my prop here, the Cherry Coke, I'm issuing a Cherry Coke challenge. We have enough Cherry Cokes for everybody in the back. And the idea hit me off of the song Mayberry. Pick up a Cherry Coke, take it home either this afternoon or sometime this week, carve out time, put it in the fridge or pour it over ice, and just find some time to sit. And in the amount of time that it takes you to drink a Cherry Coke, just be quiet, be still, be rest. Whatever you want to do, read, pray, just stare at the wall like Richard does on Saturday mornings. but find rest. So there'll be Cherry Cokes out for you guys. Do the Cherry Coke challenge. And we didn't get any Cherry Coke Zeros. It's full sugar. It's not going to kill you. I haven't had a Cherry Coke in a while, so I'm looking forward. And Ray will have his first Cherry Coke, right? Final point, rest is God's ultimate desire for you and for me. Hebrews 4, verses 9 through 11. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest. God's rest is God's ultimate desire for us. That is the gospel. He is bringing us from weariness, from exhaustion, from work to rest. And it is, it's talking about eternity, but it's also talking about now. It's a promise of deep peace, of joy, and satisfaction that we have with God in our relationship now, but it's also a promise of heaven. It's a promise of eternal rest with God and security. That gives us assurance and comfort when we know that when we leave this earth, when we die, whatever day that is, we are walking into deep, meaningful, eternal rest with God. Trust equals rest. So the call is to trust God. That's ultimately it. And rest, again, the acronym, receiving encouragement and sowing trust. My final thought, we enter God's rest daily and weekly by trusting in him and in the work of Christ that gives us rest. And that's good news for us today.